popcorn, Cuban, sandwich, salad, ice cream, you know, drizzle a little tartar sauce on it or something. I mean, they look dominant. They're killing people. Tight end looks like a black hole. I mean, it's a black hole. May I suggest a lobster roll?
Week 3, episode 2 on the Ira Kaufman podcast is here, starring the sage of Tampa Bay sports, the Baron of Big Storm Beer, Mr. Bill Curry Ford, the king of Newport Richie, Uncle Ira. I'm Steve Isbitz of JoeBucksFan.com. Lee DeKepper of JoeBucksFan is here. Man, the Bucks are 2-0. You can't beat that. And plenty of room to improve, which makes it even better. Bucks, Packers, the home opener, the excitement, 2-0. Another huge rival comes to town, Ira, and we're all fired up about it. And I'm fired up because at Bill Curry Ford, they've cut the times on delivering vehicles now, which is a really good thing. You can get your deposit in, and you're probably going to have your vehicle in November. Very exciting. And of course, Sean Sullivan, the general manager at Bill Curry Ford, is going to give you $500 just to order a vehicle with no deposit. BillCurryFord.com, a mile north of the stadium on Dale Mabry, a family tradition since the late 50s, Ira. That's, you know all about the late 50s. And they are right there for you. Sean is ready to help you any way he can. And they've got the nationwide lifetime warranty on used and new vehicles. Bill Curry Ford, get shopping there immediately. And of course, listen to Sean's Best in Class podcast. You'll find it right at JoeBucksFan.com and out on the podcast platforms. And we thank Big Storm Beer, the official beer of the Ira Kaufman podcast. It's time to make the plunge. If you haven't done it yet, get out to Publix, get out to your local package liquor store, whatever, wherever it is, and get some Big Storm Beer. Maybe try a Wavemaker Amber Ale or a Bromosa. They're top seller, their Tangerine IPA. And of course, you can find all the beers and the Big Storm liquors, which they are shipping now. Their spirits all over the country. And there's a big link at joebucksfan.com. The tap rooms are in Clearwater, 49th Street, just south of Ulmerton Road, Cape Coral, Orlando at the Amway Center, and right there near Ira in Pasco County, just north of State Road 54 on Success Drive. Sage, we are all fired up for this game. You know, you've been patrolling at One Buck Place this week, Ira. Anything that you're sensing, you're smelling, and I'm not talking about the cafeteria.
All right, a couple of things to start, Stevie. First of all, in terms of Big Storm, I started with a Bay beer before the Saints game. Went down very well. Had to have another. So when I go out there again next month, I will switch to a Brumosa or a Wavemaker. But the Bay beer went down very smoothly. As far as Bill Curry's concerned, Steve, I'm very happy to hear about the reduced wait time because my son called me from Cleveland the other night and wanted Sean Sullivan's number because he wants to get a Ford truck. I got to find out if those two have connected, and Sam's going to order something over the phone and come down here and maybe fly down from Cleveland and then drive back with his shiny Bill Curry Ford truck. So I'm very happy to hear about the reduced times. Now let's talk a little bit about your favorite football team, Mr. Isbitz. Bottom line, they're 2-0. They sit atop the NFC South alone, all alone. Only 2 weeks, understood. They ended the Saints hex. How have they done that? And not a lot of teams are 2-0. I mean, that's what's great about the NFL, Steve. Not a lot of teams are undefeated after just 2 weeks, and that's what sets the NFL apart. And I think it's fantastic that they've done it. I think you got to call it a pop gun offense. It's a pedestrian offense. Injuries galore, no question. Other teams got injuries too, Steve. Brady's healthy. Says he feels great, as a matter of fact. Pass protection, solid B for Tom Brady. Solid. Yeah, he gets hit a few times. Who doesn't? He can't move around, and he's not getting hit a lot. All you have to hear about the Buck offense is this. Ryan Succop. Oh, yes. Ryan Succop. He's on pace to kick 51 field goals, Steve. 51. He's averaging 3 a game. Now, obviously, that's not going to keep up. The red zone will get better. The third downs will get better. But, Steve, I don't need to hear Byron Leftwich on Thursday proclaim, we feel very good about the way this offense is shaping up. I don't need to hear it. Let me see if that happens in front of my own eyes Sunday at Ray J, when I will be in the second row of that press box popcorn, Cuban, sandwich, salad, ice cream. Maybe run into Jason Light, Bruce Arians, who will be up on the press box level. You won't see Arians on the field. So, Steve, what I'm saying is defense has carried this team. I love it when I'm right, Steve. I'm not right that often. But you remember the column, Steve, because you edit my columns. Before the season ever started, before the first kickoff, I said more responsibility for the Buck defense this year because they ain't going to average 30 points. And, Steve, for them to finish averaging 30 points now over a 17-game schedule, they probably got to average 34 points to make up for the 19.5 or whatever. So, Steve, on defense, beautiful thing. Hats off to these coaches, too. We'll talk about that in a little bit. This secondary is playing at a phenomenal level, Steve. I don't know where to start with this secondary. You got four or five guys that are playing great, and I got to give the coaches some of the credit for preparing these guys.
Lee, what's your take on the state of the Bucs offense?
Well, I said it before, and I stick by it. It looks like the Bucs offense last year when Gronkowski was hurt, specifically when they played Washington. They sputtered, and that's what this offense looks like. Until they can get the passing game going, and huge reason for that, obviously, is all these injuries, and Mike Evans' suspension certainly does not help. I think they're going to be a ground-and-pound team. Lenny's going to earn his money physically and mentally until they get that passing game figured out. But I've stated this before. I've written this before. The offense will get better as the season goes on. I think Brady and everybody's learning. You know, there's new guys on the offensive line. And you keep hearing from all kinds of sources, even offensive line gurus that aren't even discussing the Bucs, that, you know, it takes time for an offensive line to I hate to use the word gel, but form as a unit, as a cohesive unit. And I think that's part of it. But I think a big part of it is no Gronkowski. I'm well aware of what Drew Rosenhaus said. Maybe he shows up after the game in Munich. Who knows? But I just think this is the Bucs offense without Gronkowski.
I hear you. I'm almost afraid to answer the question just because anything Saints against the Saints, my temptation is to just throw it out the window and pretend it doesn't exist. But we've got to answer the questions. That's why we're here.
They didn't look any better against the Cowboys. And I don't know if the Cowboys have that good a defense. They have a good defense. Obviously, Michael Parsons is good. You know, we're going to find out in a couple weeks if the Cowboys and the Saints really have that good of a defense or not.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I mean, the Cowboys, they did run the ball quite well, so I'll give them that first game. But, yeah, this week will tell a lot. Okay, Ira, I got to put this out there when it comes to the offense. What I heard this week was raving on the Buccaneers radio network by Todd Bowles and Byron Leftwich, really over-the-top stuff, about how Leonard Fournette got an A-plus grade internally when they graded him out, and that it may have been his best game as a Buccaneer against the Saints, and just how fierce he was and on point he was in the passing game and in protection and running so hard and getting 2 yards where he might have gotten 0 and 5 out of a 1 yard gain, that kind of thing. And I'm thinking to myself, if Leonard Fournette just put on his best game as a Buccaneer and he's saying that he's on one leg, well, what would have happened if he just had a B-plus? What would it have looked like? Or suppose he comes back against the Packers and just has a B-plus game. You know, it's kind of scary, the state of the offense right now, because there's just too many injuries. Like, I don't know where the points are going to come from. I see 20 yards this season from the tight ends, and Kyle Rudolph can't get on the field, and Byron Leftwich didn't exactly take an opportunity to praise Rudolph or reference him as a weapon in waiting. He didn't do that Thursday. And I just don't know where the points are going to come from, Ira. And I guess Brady's healthy and Brady's Brady and they'll manufacture some things and grind it out. But I don't know. It's just concerning. But, you know, I don't want to set off huge alarm bells because you look at the Packers and I'm looking at some of their websites, Ira, you know, various commentary sites for the Packers, and Packers have plenty of injuries to receiver and they don't know where those points are going to come from Green Bay as well. So, you know, every team deals with it, but it's just so glaring after a couple of years of averaging 30 points a game, like you said.
Steve, I don't understand this overwhelming praise for Fournette's performance Sunday. I got to think they're factoring in, you know, his health and, you know, that he basically was telling us the truth that he was working on one leg because Steve, from the sheer numbers, the Buck running game was not effective. And I don't blame Fournette. I didn't think the holes were there. I thought a lot of times he got 3 yards when he should have been no gain. Four when it should have been a one-yard gain. I'm not faulting Fournette. As a matter of fact, Steve, if you take Bowles and Leftwich at their word in terms of Fournette's performance, that's kind of basically saying that there were zero holes. The run blocking was terrible because they didn't run the ball well. For your overall point, Steve, I can't argue with you. Tight end looks like a black hole. I mean, it's a black hole. The two rookies, great. Rudolph can't get on the field based on Leftwich's answer this week about Rudolph. It doesn't look like the Bucs have too much faith in Kyle Rudolph right now to help them. Brady's frustration is palpable. His post-game comments, Steve, a minute 40, that's 100 seconds for Tom Brady after a win. Steve, I thought it's all about winning. It's all about winning.
I got to be a little fair with Brady. I mean, he did talk for a long time on Thursday. I thought he gave a lot of time Thursday. And I get it, but, you know, it's not like he didn't answer the questions or was angry. He just, for some reason, cut it off after the game against the Saints. You know, maybe it's because he didn't want to address, you know, some of the tabloid questions that were out there that nobody got to, or didn't want to address his Wednesdays off or his finger. I kind of get it.
Steve, maybe I saw a different game. I was watching it from Big Storm. I didn't think the story of the game was dropped passes necessarily by the Bucs. Yeah, there were some dropped passes. But when Godwin doesn't play and Jones doesn't play and everyone gets thrown out, it's going to happen. I didn't think Brady was particularly sharp, Steve. I don't think he was particularly sharp. I go back to it again. He wasn't under siege. He's not running for his life. He's not having to escape a collapsing pocket. I didn't see that. So he's got backup receivers. By the way, speaking of receivers, Russell Gage, Steve, I'm challenging him right now. I got to see more from Russell Gage. I thought that was a nice pickup. He can play the slot till Godwin comes back. He can be effective over the middle with those 11-yard catches on 3rd and 7. I'm not seeing it, Steve. They got to get more out of Russell Gage. And, you know, for Brady to call out the five alarms on Cole Beasley, who he called, quote, a great player. Steve, is everybody a great player? Come on now. Take it easy, Tom. Take it easy. There's a reason he's still out there, Steve. Nobody picked up Cole Beasley. Nobody. I'm not saying he can't contribute. This guy's not Devontae Adams here. Take it easy.
Lee, do you think Cole Beasley, I know you've written it, do you think Cole Beasley plays on Sunday, and where do you think they are with him?
I think after the New Orleans game, Brady, I don't know this, but I'm just putting, you know, I'm reading the smoke signals. Brady probably went to light and said, I need some guys that are reliable to catch the ball. Find someone that's reliable. Beasley's reliable. He's got a track record. He gets open. So I think that was it. I think that's why they brought him in. I don't think Brady trusts Scotty Miller as much anymore. He certainly doesn't trust Darden, and why should he? Darden hasn't earned his trust. So, and with everybody hurt, with Evans being suspended, I don't know if Beasley's a one game and done. If they're going to use him one game until Evans gets back, and then, hey, thanks, Cole, here's your parting gifts. I don't know if that's going to, I think he's going to stick. I really do. And I'm guessing if Beasley wasn't convinced that he was going to stick, he probably wouldn't have signed.
Ira, let me add about Beasley. You know, he caught 82 balls last year. He caught 82 balls the year before. And the guys on NFL Network, Mike Garofalo, one of their reporters, he was on a podcast that they do with Tom Pelissero and Ian Rappaport. And he was talking about how multiple teams had offers on the table to Beasley, but he just didn't want to play for them and really wanted to get to a winner. He also reported that Buffalo wanted him back, and they had some hard feelings with the COVID, the way Beasley spoke out on the COVID and didn't follow team rules. You know, he was fined about $100,000 for various small COVID-related violations that he wouldn't adhere to team rules, but they still wanted him back. There are a lot of players out there, Sage, who don't have a job. This was one guy who, you know, if you catch 82 balls in the National Football League for a good football team, you're going to have a job the next year. Apparently, he was just waiting.
Steve, I'm stunned, number one, that the Bills wanted him back, considering the bad blood between the franchise and the player. If they were still very interested in Cole Beasley, I can't believe he didn't consummate the deal. They're favored to go into the Super Bowl. We haven't seen anything in the first 2 weeks to deter us from considering the Bills a fantastic football team. I mean, they look dominant. They're killing people. And Beasley's sitting out there. He didn't know he was going to end up as a Buccaneer. He didn't know Julio Jones was going to bump his knee in week one. He didn't know Evans was going to get suspended. So he had no way of knowing that Tom Brady was going to reach out to him. Great situation for Beasley. I don't know if he'll play Sunday, but it wouldn't shock me. And he might catch five or six balls. Look, I watched Brady very closely in New England. He had some good receivers, but he also had some very forgettable receivers that he made, very productive. And when they left New England, they fell on their ass. You never heard from them again. Beasley's got talent. He's got a knack for getting open. Good move for the Bucs because, God knows, based on the first two games, Steve, they need help in that passing game.
Lee, Ira, who do you think Cole Beasley replaces, assuming the Bucs can eventually get everybody healthy? Like, what do you think the end game is here with Beasley as it relates to the roster spots?
You always look at Jalen Darden, Steve. You always do. Going forward, you assume these guys are coming back. I mean, Julio Jones is not having surgery on his knee. He's not. It's not a season-ending injury. He will be back. I thought he was coming back to the Green Bay game. Godwin will be back. It's a hamstring. It's not a severe, but it's a hamstring. Evans will be back for the Kansas City game. So, and Gage is out there. So will Beasley crack the top four in midseason? I don't think he will. I don't think he will, but there's a place for him on this team. And Perryman's finding a place for himself on this team. Scotty Miller, I think, is in danger. He's tripping over his own feet half the time. He doesn't look like the Miller of 2020, Steve. He doesn't. We'll see if he can get straightened out. But I think Brady's starting to get a little antsy about Scotty Miller, personally. He reached out to Beasley. He wanted him. And what Brady wants, Brady gets.
Lee, as far as the end game on Beasley, if he does stick and the guys get healthy, which we all hope, let's just pretend, okay, it's after the bye week and all the receivers are back. Who does he replace? Because I don't think they're going to keep eight receivers on the roster.
My inclination is Darden. I know Bruce Arians would probably argue just the opposite. Outside of one 40-yard punt return against the Bears, mind you, the Bears. Bears are horrible. Outside of one 40-yard punt return, can anybody point out a play that he's made? Anybody? Any game? Please? Anyone? Just one? One? Yeah, the Bears. I mean, you really good? Is that you're going to bank on that guy to freaking be productive against the Packers and the Chiefs because he did one play against the damn Bears? Give me a break. I like Darden as a person. I really was hoping he'd work out. He hasn't done crap. The Bucs are not a team building for a future. They're a team of now. They have to win now. They can't wait on freaking Darden till maybe middle of December to make a play. They need production now. As Dirk Cutter would say, it's a production league. He didn't deserve a roster spot on the active roster last year. Mickens was better than him. For whatever reason, Bruce Arians thinks he's Emmanuel Sanders. He can't hold Emmanuel Sanders' jock right now. Now, Darden, 2 years from now, 3 years from now, maybe he is that player. But the Bucs aren't worried about 2025. They're worried about now. And so I don't see how you can keep Darden on the roster. Scotty Miller, he's your only deep threat. Don't give me Darden's a deep threat. The only threat you get from Darden is him farting on the sidelines. So who gets bounced outside if you keep Cole Beasley? A guy that's going to play this week, and it might be his last game. Kyle Rudolph.
All right, Sage, look, I'm at abcactionnews.com, and what do I see? I see a story about a homeowner in an association who's got a mold issue and is trying to get a claim taken care of, and it's a mess. And there is Josh Martin of Florida's Elite Restoration there on TV, on the website there, and he's saving the day with this difficult situation for the homeowner and their mold problem. And that's Florida's Elite Restoration. I was really glad to see Josh out there getting some bigger exposure than here on this podcast, Ira, if that's even possible. You know, I don't know. I may be speaking too soon, Ira. You know, not everybody watches the evening news, But Florida's Elite Restoration is where you turn if you have a mold problem, if you have storm damage, fire, flood, whatever it is, you call them first. They're a great local company servicing the entire Bay Area. And give them a call. They'll come out 24/7 and they'll assess what's going on. And if you move forward with their service, if you want to use them, they'll give you a $500 discount for mentioning in advance the Ira Kaufman podcast or joebucksfan.com. Maybe that's $500 you use toward your deductible or just a discount that you would get paying for services directly. Florida'sElitereStoration.com. If you want to take a look at Josh and read that story, it's at abcactionnews.com, or you can Google Florida's Elite Restoration and ABC Action News. You'll find it. Sage, it was cool to see, just because we know what, how great they are at Florida's Elite Restoration.
I'm elated to see the company get more exposure, Florida's Elite Restoration. Steve, I didn't catch that TV bit. I will look it up. When Josh comes in with his crew, Florida's Elite Restoration, they can be lifesavers in a way. If you have a problem, you need peace of mind. And that's what these guys provide, besides their technical expertise. Peace of mind that you're going to get an honest assessment. And that's what you want. Florida's Elite Restoration, if you have any idea that you might have a mold issue, a water issue, make that your first call before your insurance company, Florida's Elite Restoration.
Ira, I'm going to serve it to Lee. We're going to do this a little bit different. We're going to go around the horn on a few issues, the last of which is going to be the picks for this game. Lee, tell us what you're expecting from the Bucs defense this week that may be a little different from previous weeks, personnel, whatever it might be, and maybe how they approach the Packers and all that. What are you looking for from the defense?
I hope they're a little stiffer against the run, and I think they will be because already this week, earlier this week, you know, Bowles, you documented it from his radio show, the team-produced radio show, that he was, kind of chirping about, got to play better run defense, got to play better run defense. Casey Rogers, when he spoke at One Buck Palace when I was out there Thursday, he was saying the same thing. And from what I recall, whenever Bowles, since he's been in Tampa, has challenged his defense to play better against the run, which hasn't been much because they're usually good against the run, they've responded. And so I think defending the run better is what we will see against the Packers.
Yeah, an excellent point as far as them responding to those really specific challenges. Obviously, you can't challenge guys every week in an intense way because the message gets old, but exactly. I think that's a great point. Sage, what's on your mind with this Bucs defense here? I know there's talent everywhere. You've praised the coaching. And what are you looking for in this game, just from the defense?
I'll tell you a little wrinkle that I wouldn't be stunned at. Devin White's off to a hell of a start. On a blitz, he's been very effective. He picks his spots. They're like delayed blitzes. And then he finds the opening. And we all know nobody gets through an opening faster than Devin White, with the exception of maybe Tyreek Hill. I mean, that's high cotton. I got a different role for Devin White this week, Steve. I'm looking at Green Bay's offense. Of course, they got two-time defending MVP, Aaron Rodgers, and that's everybody's focal point. Aaron Jones, I think he's the guy that you got to stop on ground. I'm not worried about Alan Lazard. I mean, I'm just not. And they got a bunch of anonymous other receivers. And they got a rookie that dropped the first pass that Aaron Rodgers ever threw him, or he would have had a 70-yard touchdown, and Rodgers has lost a lot of faith in the guy. And that was in week one. So I'm looking at Aaron Jones. Look, he's a good runner. You know, he's been around. He's very effective. And he's a very dangerous pass receiver out of the backfield. Steve, I wouldn't be surprised. You know, Bowles, he changes his game plan week to week. That's great coaching. Maybe you assign Aaron Jones on those swing passes to Devin White. Maybe you do. But other than that, I'd say keep the status quo. And, Steve, you've been listening to my little podcast with Derek Brooks. And for 2 weeks now, Steve, both weeks, when I asked Brooks about the Bucs defense, he can't stop gushing about the sophistication of the disguised looks that Bowles is throwing these quarterbacks and throwing them off. Now, look, Steve, just like Tom Brady, Aaron Rodgers has seen it all. He's tough to fool. But at least through 2 weeks, Brooks is got nothing but praise about the deception of the looks that the Bucs secondary's given quarterbacks pre-snap, and then they change into something else. And, of course, Steve, you know, Winston looked very confused last week, and Winston's not a rookie. He's not. say what you want about him, but he's got a lot of experience. So here comes Aaron Rodgers. I just love the way that the secondary's playing, Steve. They're contesting every pass. And I love that about them because we haven't always seen that around here. I don't know who's playing better, Steve. Winfield, Carlton Davis has been great. We saw what Edwards did and Dean. Logan Ryan contributed last week. We haven't seen Keanu Neal, but his day is coming. This secondary, to me, that might be the strength of the team, along with the inside linebackers. I'm not going to look at anything on offense at this point. Hats off. Hats off, Steve, to Kevin Ross, Rapone, Bowles. This secondary, I think they're going to do a job on Green Bay and be the deciding factor.
Hey, Ira, are you concerned about the run defense, or you're just going to write off the first two games where they were good but not to the level that they need to be?
I'm with Bowles on the Saints game. I didn't like the run defense. They didn't even have Kamara. Ingram doesn't do much against other teams, but the Bucs have a problem with them. I didn't think the tackling was quite as good as it was in week one. He bowled his way for extra yardage. There were bigger holes on the defense. Akeem Hicks, before he got hurt, Steve, you hadn't heard much for him. I don't think he was much of a force in the run defense. And I didn't think when they got Hicks, I said, he's not going to be Ndamukong Suh against the run. And he's not. Vita Vea can do a little bit better in that regard. I saw Devin White take some poor angles Sunday. Not many, but some. So, you know, I think run defense is a concern. Frankly, Steve, going into this game particularly, I'm more worried about Green Bay's run game than the passing game. I just don't think Green Bay's got a dynamic game through the air. The absence of Devontae Adams is very conspicuous, Steve.
They've got other injuries too, Ira. I look at the Bucs, you know, 13 points allowed in these first two games. It's easy to nitpick, but overall, it's just been beyond extraordinary. Now, can it last? I think they're you know, set up to make some mistakes, and I did not like how the end of the Saints game, you know, that they didn't clamp down and choke them out as well as they could have after they got the lead 20-10. There was that long bomb to Olave that was caught and then dropped. If he happens to catch that in, or then fumbled in that bizarre fumble, if he happens to catch that in stride, he's gone. And there were some other plays there that were a little concerning, and they also couldn't really close the game out with the ball on the ground as well. So, but I don't see much from the Packers either. Where is the Packers' points going to come from? Where they don't have that consistency either. I almost see the teams as very similar, except the Bucs with a better pass rush and just a tighter defense right now. What about offensively, Ira? What Lee? What do you guys think is the play this week offensively? How do you think the Bucs attack Green Bay? And who do you think the focal points are going to be, Sage?
I don't see any reason why Fournette's not going to get 20 or 25 carries. I think until this wide receiver core comes back, and now Evans isn't there. It's another major factor. I don't think Brady has a problem with giving the ball to Fournette. Maybe Keyshawn Vaughn becomes a factor. Bernard's not going to be available. Why should we pull the plug on Keyshawn Vaughn? Already? Did he do something in training camp or in preseason that pissed off the coaching staff? I don't even see why he's behind the rookie. I got no problems with Vaughn as a number two back. Give him eight carries. Throw a couple of swing passes to Keyshawn Vaughn. I don't want to, you know, I don't want to break down Leonard Fournette after 3 weeks. We don't want to give this guy a 350 carries with a 17-game schedule. You want him fairly fresh for the stretch drive and for January. Speaking of Green Bay, Steve, you're right. These two teams look very similar at this point. You know, I think Joe Tryon, coming off the right edge, could have a big game. Shaq Barrett looks strong. Both teams have good defenses, Steve. I think the Bucs' defense is better.
I think it's going to be a very thick, spread, heavy dose of playoff Lenny. I would not be shocked if playoff Lenny gets 35 runs, 35 attempts. The Packers, at least against the Bears, showed that they're vulnerable against the run. Again, it's the Bears, I get it. But David Montgomery was getting some decent yardage against the Packers on the ground. And I think they're just going to pound and pound and pound playoff Lenny. And if you go ground and pound, that means you're going to possess the ball more, which means you're probably not going to put it up in the air that much, which also means you don't have to depend on Breshad Perriman and Scotty Miller and hopefully not Jalen Darden to make plays.
Yeah, as Chris Sims said, the Bears ran it down the Packers' friggin' throat, but of course that wasn't enough for the Bears in that loss last week. So Ira, Donovan Smith coming back this week, that's huge. Brandon Walton, wonderful story. Kid from Largo, went to Seminole High School, ends up getting his first NFL action with the Bucs and Tom Brady. Crazy story as a third-string tackle. Josh Wells, we know his game. Donovan Smith is a big upgrade, and it looks like he's coming back. He was limited in practice, but he said he's fine. We know how tough he is, and the expectation is that he will play on Sunday. Absolutely huge. Do you think that's enough to kind of solidify the line? Do you feel like the line is in good shape? I know they've been protecting Brady pretty well in the passing game, but they also haven't been sending out a ton of receivers and running four wide and things like that. A lot of help in there blocking. I guess my question to you and Lee is, do you think the Bucs open it up at all on Sunday?
First, I'm glad that Donovan Smith looks like he's going to be playing on Sunday, frankly. And I know it was a bad injury that really affects an offensive lineman. Frankly, I was surprised he didn't play against New Orleans because Donovan Smith's pride is off the charts. I mean, he's very aware of his durability record. It's fantastic. So for him to miss the Saints game, it must have been really bad. But it looks like he's back. I think it'll help the run game, number one. And by the way, I got to give Gedeke and Hainsey a lot of credit. I knew Shaq Mason would play well. Worse is worse. And Steve, you're right. The tight ends have helped in terms of protection. Fournette's done a good job in terms of picking up blitzers. But the fact is, Gedeke and Hainsey have held up better than I think Buck fans could have ever anticipated. And here comes Smith back in the lineup. Steve, I'm giving all this love towards Kevin Ross and Nick Rapone in terms of the secondary. How about a little love, Steve, for Joe Gilbert? I mean, why not in terms of the coaching staff? Fantastic job getting these guys ready. A third-string left tackle comes in very well. And we thought, oh, man, teams are going to really, pressure Brady up the middle. That's where he doesn't like it. It's going to mess him up. Well, even though the offense is struggling, Steve, that's not the reason. Brady's not being flushed out of the pocket. So give these guys credit. Donovan Smith's going to help. But quite frankly, I think the pass protection's been very solid. But I think he's going to help on the run game. And I think they'll run just enough to keep Green Bay's defense a little bit off balance.
Yeah, you sort of already answered this, Lee, but I'll give you another shot. Do you think the Bucs open it up at all on Sunday because of Donovan Smith coming back? I mean, did they at least put the threat out there of going four wide?
It depends. If they have some success in the passing game, you know, I still believe they're going to pound playoff Lenny. But if by happenstance they're having success throwing, maybe they will. Or at least maybe they'll mix it up enough where they don't grind playoff Lenny into the ground. I will say I believe Kyle Rudolph will play this Sunday because, you know, he's as Keyshawn Johnson referred to Mike Evans, he's a tree. He's reliable. He can catch the ball. He can block a little bit. He's obviously a veteran. So I believe Kyle Rudolph will actually be active this week along with Beasley. I think they're going to go veteran heavy. I really do. But as far as opening it up, like anything else, you got to have a feel for the game. If all of a sudden the Packers are showing that they're giving up passes, well, why steer away from that?
Regarding Kyle Rudolph, Cade Otton missed all of practice this week for personal reasons. They didn't give a reason, but it's probably some sort of, you know, poor health, family issues situation. Either way, with the help they need in the red zone, I would hope they would try Rudolph out there, especially losing the tree, as you called it. But it's a good call. I'm not sure they do. I have a suspicion something's going on with Rudolph, but we're going to find out 90 minutes before kickoff on Sunday. All right, Sage, look, it's that time. And who do you want to make their pick first, Ira? What are you looking for? It's our time to make those picks. And it's also a great time as you prepare for the picks to start shopping at BillCurryFord.com. BillCurryFord.com. C-U-R-R-I-E. You can order your vehicle, no deposit. Sean Sullivan's going to give you $500, and the turnaround time is speeding up. BillCurryFord.com. Who's picking first, Ira?
Stevie, we're going to go Isbitz, DeKemper, and Sage. So, Steve, you're in the leadoff spot. What do you got, Steve?
I look at both teams, and like I said, they're similar in the sense of their injuries and their inexperience at receiver and their legendary quarterbacks and all that stuff. And I don't see where the Bucs are going to produce a lot of points. I really don't. I just don't. You know, the weapons aren't there. Green Bay has the pass rush. I'm not really sold on the Bucs running game at this point. I don't really know the health of Leonard Fournette. I like the potential return of Vaughn. But on the other side, the Packers have a bunch of no-name targets, and they haven't been flinging the ball all over the park. And the Bucs defense has been the best in the league, hands down. So with the home cooking of the Bucs, I just can't step away from picking the Bucs, and I'm happy to do it. Last week I picked 19-17 Saints. I'm going to flip it this week and go 19-17 Bucs. Sage, Lee's 0-2 this season. You and I are 1-1. Lee?
All right. I've documented this on Joe Bucs Fan, and I literally 20 minutes ago maybe saw a video where Kay Adams had even more information. Kay Adams, formerly NFL Network, now she's working for FanDuel TV cable channel. She, you know, they pump out a lot of videos from her show. Apparently, Aaron Rodgers is 3-5 in all games in Florida. We do know he's 1-3 in Tampa. And up until 2020, when Rodgers came to Tampa, the Bucs were horrible. And still he struggled. And still he lost. I remember Josh Freeman's very first start. The Bucs were wearing a creamsicle. They beat Rodgers. The only win Rodgers has against the Bucs, they only mustered 20 points, and that was against Lovie Smith's pathetic defense. And he whined the whole time for like 3 or 4 games after. He whined that he had an injured leg, and that was because the Bucs have a rotten turf at the stadium, and that's why he injured his leg, and that's why he didn't play well. You know, he's a drama queen. Rodgers will lose once again. The Bucs will pull through. It'll be close. The Bucs will win by a field goal. I say the Bucs will win 27-24. And Kay Adams came with this stat. Rodgers, who rarely throws picks, is 11 touchdowns and 11 interceptions playing in the state of Florida.
Yeah, the numbers are disturbing if you're a Packers fan, and they look awfully great if you're a fan of a Florida team.
And by the way, that also includes his game against Jameis and the Slimy Saints last year to open the season. The Saints game was moved because of a tropical storm. And they played in Jacksonville, and the Saints clobbered them.
All right, Ira, you've heard it all. What do you got?
Steve, as usual, your analysis is astute. Two good defenses, two struggling offenses, two all-time quarterbacks. I think the Bucs defense is going to find a way to get this win, Steve. I think they'll set up a short field with a fumble or a pick against Rodgers, a sack strip. And that's going to be enough, Steve. That's going to tell the tale. The Bucs have won the field position battles throughout this early season. It's been a big factor. I got 2016. I'm right there with you, Steve. I'm 1-1. I want to be 2-1. And by the way, it's going to be hot out there, Steve, even at 425. I think that's a factor in the Bucs' favor. Tampa Bay players very happy to get back on the grass, Steve. Very, very elated for that. So I think Brady does just enough again. He ain't going to throw 5 touchdown passes, but 2016 home team 3-0 with the Chiefs coming into town.
And of course, as we heard, Lee agrees with you big time when it comes to that weather and Aaron Rodgers. He's riding that, and I can't go against it. Although I don't think it'll be a huge factor in this game. I just think, you know, for all the reasons we talked about. All right, Ira, look, anything you want to say to Bucs fans as you head out of here? And of course, you know, I hate to get too ahead of ourselves, but what would 3-0? I'll let you go out this way, Ira. I'll direct you. What would 3-0 mean to this franchise, and what kind of accomplishment would it be for Todd Bowles and just the whole state of all things Bucs?
Huge for Todd Bowles. We looked at the early schedule, the 4-game slate to kick it off, and we were debating about this a month ago. And you know, some of us thought, you know, 2-2 would be acceptable. I think you and I both said 3-1 is the bare minimum for this team. And Steve, that was before all the injuries, or most of them. We didn't know Julio Jones was going down in week one. We didn't know Mike Evans was going to get suspended. We didn't know Godwin was going to tweak a hamstring. at that time, that Fournette was going to be on, quote, one leg at that time, Steve, at the Donovan Smith, whatever, hyperextended elbow. So, Steve, if they go 3-0, which I think they 3-0, which I think they will with Kansas City coming in, I think it's a fantastic start for Bowles and his coaching staff. I think they could run away with this division. I think the Saints have problems. Carolina's got a good defense, but it's not going to hold up throughout the year. And Atlanta's Atlanta. Atlanta's playing a little better, Steve, than I thought they would. They've been competitive. And I thought they were looking at 4-13, and it might be a little better than that, maybe. But the Bucs are the best team in this division, and it would be nice to build up a nice early cushion, and that could affect the way Bowles uses guys throughout the season. So, you know, considering the schedule, 3-0 would be a marvelous start.
Well, Ira, you know, you mentioned some foods in the press box. It's your the first regular season game of the year. Anything that you'll be devastated if it's missing from the buffet on Sunday?
Well, they always add a few choice items. May I suggest a lobster roll, Steve? May I be so bold? Chilled, perhaps? You know, drizzle a little tartar sauce on it or something? Nothing wrong with that. But, Steve, be seriously. I'm looking forward to going to Ray J Sunday. I roll in about 2:15. As I said the other day on the Mad Dog, I'm on the buffet line before I even put my work bag down, Steve, before I even get to my seat. Check the seating chart.
All right. Hey, Sage, one question, one football question that I got to hit you with. It's very easy, and we'll say goodbye and our thanks again to Bill Curry Ford, Tampa's first family of Ford, Florida's elite restoration, your first phone call in any disaster in your home or business, flood, fire, mold, and Big Storm Beer. That's your beer. That's Florida's best craft beer, Big Storm Beer, bigstormbrewery.com. Ira, 1 o'clock game, big one. Saints at the Panthers. If the Panthers lose that game, is Matt Rhule fired and do they just blow it up and hunt for the number one draft pick next year? And question number two, do you think the Panthers can actually knock off the Saints on Sunday?
Carolina's defense, it's good. McCaffrey is back, and that's big, Steve. We all know what he can do when he's healthy, and I wouldn't be shocked one bit if Carolina beats New Orleans. I'm not even sure I'd call it an upset at this point. The Saints are in a little bit of disarray. I don't know if Kamara's playing. Winston's coming off just an abysmal effort. Steve, I want to say it again. Before he started going pick crazy in the second half, Jameis wasn't doing anything before that. I mean, nothing. Absolutely nothing. He was throwing a lot of six-yard passes, dink and dunk. They weren't particularly effective. I don't know what to expect out of Winston on the road. I think Carolina can certainly win that game. As far as Matt Rhule, if they lose the game, I still think it's a little bit early. I would look for a midseason change for Matt Rhule. To me, Carolina's, they're just treading water, Steve, until they can get a quarterback.
Sounds good. And the crazy thing about Carolina, if they lose this game, their next four games, Ira, next four, Arizona, San Francisco, the Rams, and the Bucks. I mean, they were looking at 0-7, which would put them in position for that number one pick, and I got to think David Tepper might pull that plug. But all right, another fun football weekend coming up. Lee, Ira, see you next week.